deaf mom, hey? New parak. So the topic of this parak is about benching. Specifically, most a lot of the parak is going to deal with zima. Whenever you want to bench with a group of three or 10 people, then you join everybody together and they do a zimun together. So what is zimun? Rashi, the first Rashi just says, before we even do the Mishnah, Rashi says the idea of a zimun is lezdamin yachan. Everybody joins together. Let's rove bracha. So everybody, how do they join together? Because they invite one another. They invite each other to make a joint bracha. B'loshon rabim kamo kigon nevarech. How do you do this invitation to make a bracha? Say a word that's plural, like nevari. Say something like "let us bench," okay? Something like that. Or a timer of Alan benching, or nevari. Okay, there are a lot of versions, but the one word that's the most important word is nevari. Let us bench. So the invitation is the main part of the zimun, and the idea of that is, if you want to have kedusha in benching and whatever, when someone does a zimun together and benching everybody together, so you need preparation. So the preparation happens when people say, "Let us bench." And then that's mamish what this pashup shat in zimun is. It's invitation to everybody to bench. When everybody joins together, then that's the real key in what a zimun is. The second thing, that's Rashi, and that's like the Shulchan Aruch, that's the Pashup Shat. There's another aspect of Zimun which may or may not be included in the main mitzvah of Zimun, which is that they end up actually benching together. The first thing is just the limitation. The second part is that we'll see in different Gemaras, and actually very clear over here as well, is that it's not only whenever you do a Zimun, there's an opportunity that you can also be motzi someone in benching. Right? The guy who makes the zimun says the words out loud, everybody listens to him, and they're yotze. It's very similar, it might be the same, but it might be different than shmei kohanim. Shmei kohanim is when I make a bracha and you listen to yotze. Great. So that's definitely a true concept. So zimun is a little bit more than that. Sometimes it works even if the guy doesn't understand. But shmei kohanim has to understand, and for Zimun, it might not be, he needs to understand, so on and so forth. There might be differences between this and Zimun and Shmei Kohanim. So the Gra has this opinion that in order to really be Yotzei Zimun, it's not enough that you just invite, it has to be inviting, and then they actually bench together. So the Mishpura recommends that, okay, we don't have Kavanah to listen to the whole thing from one guy, so you know what's better to do is to say it along word by word from whatever one guy says it out loud, the whole thing. And everybody listens word by word and says it along. Even that, I don't think is the minhag. I think the minhag is probably more likely that mezamim says maybe the first bracha out loud and people finish with him, and they say amen to his other brachas for Ashkenazim. But that's about it. And it probably the sitzel yasra has a tshuva. We're basically either following different shitas, let's say the invitation's the ikar, or following that the first bracha is ikar. Anyway, that's the minhag. But the Mishmar does say there's such a thing. You should say it mamish along with him, word by word. Okay? Let's start the parak. 3 people that eat together, but Davka should do a zimun together. Chayiv, they have to do a zimun. Now we have a bunch more cases in the Mishnah that all reflect the same rule, and we're going to discuss it in the Gemara, not today, about if someone eats something that is mutter to eat, something that's heter, kosher. So then he's supposed to zimun if he ate something that was not kosher, so then he doesn't join with the zimun. Anyway, so all the things we're going to say over here are kosher, but they're a chiddush that they're kosher. There's some iser, there's something that they did that was not perfect, but bottom line is still basically kosher. Achol demai, demai is food that I buy from an Am Haaretz, who didn't say, who, I don't know if he took off trumas and maestros, but I definitely took off truma. So I don't know if he took off maestros. So should I eat this? No. Basically, l'chachili, you're supposed to take off maestros for sure. But okay, in terms of our halacha, in terms, could I do zimun? I didn't do. I ate something that was had some avera, but it wasn't. Basically, I had what roll on to do this. Therefore, I could still bench and still do zimun. Okay, I took off the truma. Fine. Says the end of the Gemara, I'll explain all the cases. Basically, it's a type of food that's kosher. Maaser sheni v'hektish niftu. This maaser sheni is fruit that he took off maaser from after he took off truma, and then he took off the first truma. This first maaser that goes to Levim, the second maaser, in the third and sixth year, you bring to your shalom. That's maaser sheni. So you're allowed to eat those fruits outside your shalom if you're po'd to them. So this guy did that. He is po'd to these fruits or vegetables or grains, and he ate them outside your shalom. Great. Hektish, something that you designate sacred, you make it sanctified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you're po'd to it. Great, same story. You're allowed to eat that wherever you want. So those are pasha kasher. The same thing with the first cases. They are kasher. The Gemara is going to explain what the chedesh in each case is. Okay. If you have a waiter and he ate a kazayas of bread, you're allowed to join in. He's allowed to join in the zimun. Vakuti is this person that there's a group of people that when Sancheirev exiled the 10 tribes, so he moved lots of nations around. So he took the kutim from a faraway land. He put them in Israel. And then they were attacked by lions and the whole story, and they decided, you know, let's convert. So they converted to Judaism. It's a big machlokas all over Shas. Was their conversion a valid conversion or an invalid conversion? Because they're Geirei Raios. They were only being Megayer because they were afraid of the lions. But basically, they weren't converting because they believed in Judaism or they wouldn't have any Kabbalah mitzvahs. So anyway, this Mishnah assumes that they're Jewish. Kutim Geirei Emes, they're Jewish, and therefore they can join Rizim. Achal Tavel Meiser Rishon Shalonin Rotshamasa. However, in the other half of the Mishnah, we talk about people ate something that was also to eat. So a guy ate Tevel, something that has no Truma, Meiser taken off, or Meiser Rishon, where you didn't take off the Truma from it, and Meiser Sheni VeHektish Shaloniftu. If you have a Meiser Sheni that was third or sixth year tired and you're supposed to bring it to your shalim, and he didn't put it and he didn't redeem it, so he's eating it outside shalim incorrectly. Or Hektish, he's sanctified something to the base of Mikdash, and he's eating it without a pidyon, without redeeming it, that's also awesome. Or Sham Shachal Pachami Gazayis, or the waiter that didn't eat a full Gazayis, Nachriim Zamnilam or Goy, all those people, Imazarulam. You can't join them for a Zimun. He doesn't want to eat something Asr, or a non Jew. Or someone doesn't need a kazayas, can't join. Okay, ad kamzan. How much do you have to eat in order to be included in the zimun? Says the Mishnah, ad kazayas. The first opinion says a kazayas. You actually have to eat a kibitza in order to be chayiv, to bench, to exempt everybody else. Okay? Fine. Says the Gemara, Mani Mila, what's the source for something? Now, some Rishonim say, we're asking what's the source of Zimun. I know there's an idea of Zimun, a mitzvah to do Zimun. In HaTorah, maybe Midrabban, a big machlokas, these psukim are derais or not derais. Rashi, interestingly, doesn't sound like we're actually asking the question about what's the source of Zimun. We're really not asking about the temptation part of Zimun, we're really asking about the idea that we could exempt one another when we bench. That's what the first Rashi says. Man, immediately, Shosha Ruyin the Berchas. Siruf. How do you know three people are allowed to make a bracha jointly together? Okay. Anyway, Gemara says, here's the source. Amar of Asi, Adamar Krakad, Lula, Naitin, Ramash, Mayotav. Let us give praise to Hashem together. Gidlu Hashem Iti. So one guy speaks to two. Iti is more singular. So the guy speaking, Gadlu is you too. So he's speaking to two people. One guy speaks to two other people saying, come, let us praise Hashem together. And let's raise up his name together. Good. So that's the source or Zimun. There you see, or the source that people could bench all together, that three people are in one pasuk praising Hashem. Right? Because basically, in everywhere else in Torah, usually you need 10 people to have a davar shvikdusha. So how do you have three people? So you see over here this concept of three people. Rabbi Abba Omar Mehacha Kishim Adonai Ekra, when I will mention Hashem's name, singular, Havu you, two other people, go to Lel Lehinu, come and give praise to Hashem. You have aggrandizement to Hashem. Okay. The first pasuk is a little more explicit. The second one is one guy speaking to two people, and they're all doing praise. The second one is just mentioning Hashem Hashem. It could be it's learning, it could be it's other things. But the second pasuk is a pasuk in Torah, as opposed to the first pasuk, the pasuk in Tehillim. Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba minayla ona amin shali gabia kolo yod minu mevarech. Okay, this is no longer really directly. We did, Yashikov, very good. We use that for talking about Berkos, a Torah, learning Torah. So, whenever someone is Shem Hashem Akra, when you mention Shem Hashem, when you mention someone as Shem's name in learning, so you're supposed to give praise to Hashem Aide, making Berkos, Yashikov. It's great. So it's not going to be usually, it probably won't be possible to say Brachas Torah are Deraisa and also Zimus Deraisa. Most opinions hold that Brachas Torah are Deraisa. Some do hold Zirban. And most opinions hold Zimun is Zirban. But yeah, it's a good point. And probably they're mutually exclusive. It's a good idea. So, new Drasha, this is not 100% connected to Zimun. Whenever I answer Amen to someone else's Bracha, so I shouldn't raise up my voice more than the guy who made the bracha. The same pasuk we darsha to mean, come praise Hashem with me. So when you're saying with me, meaning do it just like I did. I did it with such a volume, you do the same thing. So that is a halacha found in Shulchan Aruch, especially when it comes to like Kaddish, Kedusha, and the like. If the guy is saying Kaddish, is saying it quietly, so everybody else shouldn't answer louder than him. However, it says in the Achronim, if you're trying to do it to Ma'or or Kavana, so you should be able to have better Kavana or to Ma'or or other people to have Kavana properly, then it's Mutter. Right? So if you get a bit more Kavana by answering Min Yeshmer Rabba very loud, you know, you're allowed to do that. Or the guy saying Kaddish, just say it loud. Let's see. When they used to do Kriya Satorah in Shul, they used to have one guy Korei, one guy do the Kriya, and one guy be Metargi, one guy translate the Pesukim into Aramaic, and they do it correspondingly. One guy one Pasuk, and the next guy the other Pasuk. Great. One guy one Pasuk, and then the other guy translate that Pasuk. Fine. So the Metargi should not raise his voice louder than the guy doing the Kriya Satorah. He's responding to him. And what's the source for this? This is in last week's parsha, a very confusing pasuk. But for our purposes, what we understand to mean is Hashem gave the Saras Dibros, the first two Dibros Hashem gave us directly. And after that, Hashem told Moshe, and Moshe said it to Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Yidaber Elohim Yonene B'kol, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the other Dibros, and afterwards Moshe responded them to the people. Okay? So the way to actually translate the pasuk according to what we're saying now is Moshe is going to repeat the Dibros that which Hashem already told him. Okay? It doesn't mean Hashem is answering him, rather Hashem is telling him in advance of what he's going to say. There are a lot of other pshatim in this pasuk. That anyway, Shein Tam Alam Rabakol, what does it mean that Hashem used a voice? Obviously it means Hashem used some sort of voice, otherwise how did Moshe hear him? So he heard him in some way. Matam Alam Rabakol, Bakol Shal Moshe. He used a similar voice to Moshe, right? There's an idea that when Hashem spoke to Moshe, Hashem used a voice that was the similar volume to Moshe was going to use. And this way, when Moshe would say it to the people, he would say it just in that similar volume, not louder than that volume. Okay? The targum should not be louder than the person reading. And then, now hold on, the Nesiv says we're basically missing a line, which explains the last drasha a little bit more and explains this next line a little better, which is not only is there a halacha that the second guy answering shouldn't be louder than the first one, there's also a halacha that he shouldn't be quieter. He should really try to mimic, like it said in the beginning, E.T., right? In Romash Yatav, that we should try to bless Hashem, we should praise Him all together, in unison. So the next line that's missing, it's all but Tiff says it should be there from the Tosafta, is the Matargim is not supposed to be Namuch from the Kore, or the Kore is not supposed to be Gavoa from the the Matargim. Meaning the first guy is not supposed to be lower than the second guy, but not only that, the first guy should not be a lot louder than the second guy either. And im eafshar le-metargim le-gia kolo. Let's say the first guy wants to go very loud, and the second guy can't raise up his voice. Kenegi kore, he can't reach the same volume as the first guy could. He can't project. So then yimayach kore kolo v'yikra. So then the first guy should lower his voice. The second guy is able to get to that voice. So that's pshat with Hashem and Moshe. Hashem did it only as loud as Moshe was able to do it. He used kolo shel Moshe. That's why Moshe was able to reach his voice. Just the basic concept that Hashem is, so to speak, corresponding to us, that Moshe is going to be able to say it, and Hashem wanted to make it so Moshe could say it. Hashem made it in the voice that Moshe would be able to follow after him. It's an incredible concept, right? The concept is that there's a Hashem Tov on the Pesach, Hashem Silcha Yad Yiminecha, we say in Shiramat Lamalos, Hashem is like a shadow on our right hand. What does that mean? Kiviyach means Hashem, so to speak, follows our actions. When a person moves, their shadow also moves. So to speak, Hashem follows everything that we do, and Hashem appreciates it, and Hashem, so to speak, spiritually, in the upper heavens, is impacted by our actions, and corresponding, responds to that. So, too, over here, Moshe was able to speak in such a way, so Hashem responded, that's what it says, that Lemi Anenu, Hashem responded, it doesn't mean Hashem responded, Hashem came before Moshe in saying out the Dibros, but Hashem said the Dibros according to what Moshe would be able to speak. Also, there's a great drush on the Hashem Hashem Ekra. In a different context, it's quoted in Perkei Avos that we learn from that pasuk to mean whenever we learn Torah. Actually, it's in Daf Vav, so it's also Gemar Brachos in Daf Yom, a long time ago. When we learn Torah, Hashem comes and visits the Shekhinah comes into the presence of those who are learning Torah. And it's Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I say Hashem's name, have a good Elohim, you should give praise to Hashem, because Hashem is here.
Is it sorcerer like a minion?
Yes, it's sorcerer, three people learning. It's a sorcerer, a few people learning. Then we had a minion, the other sorcerer over there. So we say over. So the question is, what do you mean mentioning Hashem's name, and that I will mention Hashem's name? So some there are ban, some of our Shah says, it could be just that mention that any time you say Torah, that's also mentioning Hashem's name. Another pshat Rav Chaim Volozhin has, whenever we learn Torah, so Hashem says, I will repeat after you, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hashem speaking. When I will say Torah, Avu Elohim, then you should bless me, because I will be repeating after you. If someone says words in Torah, Hashem takes all those words, and heaven crowns them and says them himself, and he repeats them after us. Whenever we're learning, Hashem is learning as well. And the Gemara gets once Eliyahu Navi found once to Amram were learning, Pilagish should give them, and they found Eliyahu Navi, and they asked Eliyahu Navi, "What's the truth? What happened? Did it happen like this? Amor said, or like that? Amor said." He said, "You know what? In the Beis Mishmala, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was also learning the story." He said, "So no, what did Hashem say? Did he say like this? Pshat or that pshat?" He said, "Well, my son Yanai says like this, and my son Hanina says like this. That." This Amor is going to say like this, and this Amor is going to say like that. So Shem Mamish repeats whatever we learn. All right, Itmar. New piece. Shana Shachalu Kayachan. Pligi Rav Rabbi Yachanan. This is talking about two people that eat together. Are they allowed to be motzi one another? Right? That one person is going to say it out loud, the other person is going to listen and be yotze. Are you allowed to do that? And that's the part of the Zimun that we really want to know. So could you do a Zimun? Right, there's two parts of Zimun. Zimun is the invitation and then also joining together. So first of all, could they invite each other? And second of all, could they join together? But the real chiddush is, could they be moti one another? So Chanamar Ratzu, and we know there's no obligation to do it. Chanamar Ratzu, Lazamim, Lazamim. One opinion is, if they want to make Zimun, they can. Chanamar Imratzu, Lazamim, Imazam. Another says, they can't. Right. It says in the Mishnah, you have to need three people to bench. So it sounds like there's only a formula Chazal set up for three. Shalosh in Shanaim Lo. There's such a thing as two. Two people can't do Zima. Or it says, no, there's no Raya. Hasam Chova Hachar Shus. I understand you can't do it as a chova, but maybe you could do it as a rishus if you want to. Tashma. Three people they ate together, they have to make a zimun, and they can't split up. What's so we say, don't you see three and not two? Verse says, no. Shani hasum to kavu hu bechova miikara. The chiddush is that it's true that three people that they come together have to bend, have to do zimun, but and even two, if they left, let's say they had all three people, and really one of them walked away, and whatever, he benched on his own, he joined some other zimun. So could two people now bench? So according to one of the opinions that we said before, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, it could be one of the opinions that would still say the two people left could still do zimun. So Gemara is wondering, wait a minute, if three people together could do zimun, and the two people that are left could also do zimun, so why is it usher for them to split up? You know, bottom line, the two other guys who are left are still going to be able to do zimun. So don't you have a proof that two people may not do a zimun? So just to add from the Noda Behuda, he says, it's probable that you have to say that the third person went to his own zimun, some other zimun. Because otherwise, of course, he can't leave. There was a mitzvah, and he's just, you know, neglecting that mitzvah. So must be that we're talking about at least the cases, three people, one guy left to some other, enjoyed some other zimun, he's going to do zimun. Now there's two people left. If two people are able to make a zimun with each other, it must be, you see, that they don't lose anything from the fact that that's also to do, you're not allowed to split up, it must be. Two people's zimun doesn't exist. The answer to the Gemara, no, kavalu b'chova mi'kara. Once there is a creation of a chiyuv zimun on all three people together in this, and these three individual specific people, that chiyuv doesn't go away, and it's not replaced by a two-person zimun. Two-person zimun is not as powerful as a three-person zimun. If you're not supposed to split up. Toshma. Hashamish, hayamish, shamish, al shnaim hariza. Oichalim mahim, avvijalonandu lo rishos. If there's a waiter, he's serving two people, and they're eating bread. So the shamish could automatically eat bread from, you know, from the baal bais's bread, from the owner, the house owner's bread, and doesn't have to ask permission, because it's assumed that the house owner would want a zimun. It's a mitzvah to have a zimun. So therefore, since he would want to have a zimun, it want the waiter to eat, and if he's going to eat, well, then they'll be able to join. Great. He has to eat a kazayat, but as long as he eats a kazayat, he can join with them. He's serving three people. Well, then they don't need him for his zimun. They're going to be able to do zimun anyway, three. So then he shouldn't eat with them. And we can't not long alert as long as he asks permission. Can I eat your food? Great. If not, not. Shani. So basically, don't you see that in the first case, you had two people, and the waiter wants to join, and we say, oh yeah, but that's okay, you should join, he doesn't even have to ask permission, it's obvious we want him to join to get him in. Wait a minute, why do we need him to join? You can do a two-person zimun. As according to this one opinion, that you can do a two-person zimun. Says the Gemara, no. Shani hasam l'nicha lehu d'mikvahu b'chova. It's a little different. It's very different when you have three people than you have two people. And therefore, to get the special mitzvah, three people doing zimun, we bedaf could go out of our way, and we want the waiter to eat. Rashi, what's the unique thing with three versus two? It's because now it's a mitzvah. Now it's a chiyuv to do gadol mitzvah oseh. Right? Anytime, like a man for mitzvahs, there's mitzvahs eshes man grama, like I don't know, sukkah or lulav, that a woman is exempt from, so they can do it. You know, mitzvahs eshes man grama, women are exempt, but if they want, they can do it. It's mitzvah inu mitzvah oseh. But there's less reward for someone who's inu mitzvah oseh, volunteering, than someone who's obligated to do it. So the same thing comes up with zimun of two people. Zimun of two people, according to this opinion, exists. You could do it if you want, but it's only voluntary. And since it's only voluntary, it doesn't have as much reward as the guy who's doing it obligatory. Good? Tashma.
It's only because Hashem commanded it, meaning if someone's being forced by another person to do mitzvah, does that count?
Good question, maybe. Like, what do you mean? Like, kibud avim could be, it will be.
Yeah, let's say it's your job.
No, so then yeah, it doesn't
have. Then you're mitzvah by your boss.
Nah, that's fine. I mean, that's not the same thing. Maybe I don't know. I would think it's not the same thing. The Tosus in Kiddushin says the reason for a mitzvah is getting more reward is because you have a greater yitzhara to fight back.
So not you to have do. A greater yitzhara to fight back against the person. Than the
fine. So if you do, then l'fum sarah agur. Tashma. Okay, this is a very chashev inyan right now. Nashim mizano l'asman. It's very clear, women could do a zimun. If three women, or 10 women, they can make their own zimun. The avadim mizamnim l'asman, and the slaves, they can make their own zimun. Nashim avadim ketanim imratul l'zam in mizam. Hari, can I make a joint zimun of the woman together with kids or together with the slaves? They can't make a joint zimun. Okay. Okay. Fine. Now, says the Gemara. Wait a minute. Hamei anoshe ketrei gavri damen. Why is it possible to make a zimun for a woman? How could a woman make their own zimun? But in every other area of davrish v'kedusha, to create a minion, women can't make a minion. They don't join a minion. So the only people that make minion are men. So how could it be? And that creates davrish v'kedusha. Right, Nikdash B'tok B'nei Israel means in order to have a Kedusha B'tok B'nei Israel for Davrish Kedusha, for a minion and everything else, this is one of the sources. This Daf Gemara is actually one of the major sources that women don't count for minion. It's very hard to prove, but here's a proof. It's very clear in the Balatosis, the Brim proofs from here, that women, even 100 women are like 2 men with respect to Davrish Kedusha. So therefore, for a Zimun, which is a Davrish Kedusha, so then we don't understand how could a woman make a Zimun. But the Brisa, in fact, says a woman can make a zimun. So it must be there exist zimuns that are just even the equivalent of 2 men. What's the point? If you don't even have any quorum of people to create a davar shel kedusha that God lo Hashem eti nor Hashem yachdav, that Hashem is going to join us, it doesn't matter. You could still say that you will do zimun. Even with two, if a woman can make a zimun, then 2 men should be able to make a zimun as well. Basically, it doesn't fit the standards of what's necessary to make davar shel kedusha, and yet you can make a zimun. Don't you see that women can make a zimun, even though the women are the equivalent of 2 men with respect to davar shel kedusha, creating davar shel kedusha? Mercy says no. Shani hasam to ikadeos. There's a difference because really, zimun doesn't just depend on davar shel kedusha. If it depended only on davar shel kedusha, then you have a great proof. Thing is, it really depends on deos, the amount of people that are there, and you can't make any equivalence between men and women when it comes to deos. Women are people. Every single woman is their own dea, their own thought, and therefore, multiple women could join together, invite each other to make a zimun. And therefore, there's no raya from here. The fact that 3 women can make a zimun has no proof at all to the concept that 2 men could make a zimun. Yeah, so what? It doesn't create the full davar shel kedusha, but the concept of zimun revolves around deos. Several people doesn't revolve around the making davar shel kedusha like a minion. E hachi im seifa nashim avanim imrata lezamin imzamnir. Women and slaves can't make a zimun together. Amai lo vayikadeas. Wait a minute. Why can't slaves and women join together for a zimun? Is if you know an eved kanaani has like certain mitzvahs, and women also are Jewish. There's no shiloh. Why can't they both are deos? Both different independent thinkers, people. Why can't they possibly make a zimun? So that's a din derabanan. We don't want them to make a zimun because it's going to lead to bad company. It's going to lead to priests. If the slaves are hanging out with the women, you never know what's going to happen. So it's a bad idea. That's why we don't allow it. So the halacha just about woman zimun is, yes, it is brought into halacha. A woman can make a zimun. It's a rishus, according to most shitas in the Rishonim. Whatever, it's a machlokas. If it's a rishus or it's even a chova for 3 women to make a zimun, we hold, like Shulchan Aruch, who says it's only a rishus. Women can, they don't have to. And the minhag is that in most places, most of the time, women, in fact, even 3 women who eat together, don't make a zimun together. And some posts can even say, like, we shouldn't change the minhag, but after we go out of our way to go try to make a zimun for women. Because today, it's sometimes like a statement to do that. And however, those who do, by all means, if they have the right kavanah, the shem shemaim, you know, tivarachu ben shemaim, they're doing the right thing. There's nothing wrong. It's found that shachanah a woman can make a zimun. Women and men are together in the same room, same thing. In theory, they can do it, but most of the posts will say it's not the minhag. And but definitely, we should go out of our way to go try to make a new invention of minhagim if we're not obligated to go do them. Anyway. Tistaim de Rav de Amor Imrata Lazamin Imazamin. So let's prove that Rav at least is the opinion that you can do 2 people, 2 person Zimun if you want to. Oh, sorry, you cannot make a two-person zimun if you want to. Number of Dima, Bar Yosef, Amr, Rav. Rav said, three people ate together, and one guy left, went out to the street, call him back, please come back, so we can do a zimun. So don't you see, you have to call him back, time it to Karin Lo, Halo Karin Lo. Only if he comes back can you make a zimun. If he doesn't come back, well, then you're stuck with two people. Two people can't make a zimun. Don't you see a proof? Two people can't make a zimun. The Mursa says, no. Shani Hasam de Avi Lugu Cholam Yikar. They already created a quorum of three to begin with when they ate together, and that sets out the Chi of Zimun. And therefore, they're not allowed to leave. You have to call him back. Time, fine. Maybe let's prove the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan is the opinion that says two people can't make a zimun. Rabbi Yochanan said that two people ate together. One guy could be moti the other guy with a shmei kohana, but not a regular zimun, just shmei kohana. Don't we know there's a concept that Shmei Ka'ona, if I listen to something, even if I don't answer, I just hear the words. Shmei Ka'ona, it's like I said it. Just dying, right? The point of Rabbi Yochanan saying is not that the idea of Shmei Ka'ona can't work. Shmei Ka'ona can't work, but Zimun is a much greater concept. First of all, the invitation is different than Varech. That's a mitzvah in and of itself, just saying that. People didn't count it maybe as a mitzvah d'oraisa, as we said, and some people count it for like 100 brachos because it's a bracha in and of itself. Whatever it is, it's a chashuv thing. So first of all, the invitation doesn't exist when there's just two people. And second of all, the special benefits of having a zimun that you can do Shmei Ka'ona in a way even that people don't understand. And so in other things, maybe even without answering a main and the like, those benefits of a zimun don't exist. They will have Shmei Ka'ona, but they won't have zimun. Okay. Amar Le, so that's the proof that Rabbi Yonah in fact holds you can't have a two-person zimun. Amar Le Rava Bar Huna, the Rav Huna, Haraban Adam Imarav Amri Imra Zilazam Zamnin. But the rabbis of Israel said that if you want to make Zimun, you could. My Lav Dishmilo Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav lived in Bavel. So, presumably, if the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael are saying that you could make a Zimun of two people, it must be they heard from Rabbi Yochanan. My Lav Dishmilo Rabbi Yochanan. So, Zigmar, Lo Dishmilo Mirav, Mekaman Dacha the Bavel. In fact, Rav also lived in Israel before he made Yerida to Bavel. So they, he used to, tell people, popularize his opinion that two people can make a zimun, and the rabbis in Israel heard this before he left to Babel, and that's why they were saying it, but nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is that we hold that two people cannot make a zimun. Shmei Ka'ona still exists. You can, not even voluntarily, two people can't make a zimun. We hold you can't have that, but Shmei Ka'ona exists. Shmei Ka'ona we generally try not to do with people that know the text themselves. If two people know the text, they should say it themselves, as opposed to using Zimun instead of using Shmei Ka'ona for two different people. If one guy knows the text and the other guy doesn't know how to read and you want to be able to him, by all means, you should use Shmei Ka'ona. Okay. Any questions on what we did? The woman Zimun. All right. Sorry. Gufa. Three people eating. One guy walked out. Call him in. Bring him back. He has to be able to hear the words and be able to answer. And he doesn't actually have to come into the room. He can even be standing like a little bit outside the room as long as he can hear you and answer. That's good enough. From room to room, you can make a Zimun. However, Amr Marzutra, the Amr Elba Shlosha of Abbasara Adonite. For 10, he has to actually be standing presently in the room. He has to come back where he was before, into that room. Wait a minute. Why is that the story? That for 10, it's more serious. He has to be in the room. Maybe we should say the opposite. 9 people already are like pretty chashev. Sometimes they can appear as 10 people already. That's already chashev quorum to begin with. So maybe one guy standing outside and he can hear them is close enough. But shnayim, in the kishlosha, 2... Two, what's two people? Two people is hardly anything. So two people don't appear as 3. So therefore, maybe the third person needs to come back into the room. So therefore, maybe it's the opposite story should tell us that when you have 9 people, one guy can stand outside the room and listen. And when you have 2 people, you need the third guy to come in. V'hilchata Gemara Zutra, we follow the first opinion that, yeah, for three people, it's good enough if the third guy's outside the room. And for 10 people, 9 people, it's good enough to have one guy on the outside. Right, it's really, there's a major difference between Zimun of 3 and Zimun of 10. Zimun of 3 is doesn't have Shem Hashem, just has Nevarach, let us bench, just purely an invitation. If someone, we don't make Zimun for no reason, but if someone does a Zimun by accident, is that a bracha levatala? The answer is no. Pasha says, no bracha levatala when you do a Zimun for 3 people. You didn't say Shem Hashem. So it's just an invitation. Let us bench it. You know, on the bench. Okay, so then you'll do it again or whatever it is. The Zimun's not brought in Zimun Levatala. However, 10 people, yeah, that's a little bit like a bracha Levatala. What, you can't say Shem Hashem for no reason. We did in the last week in the Parsha, Lotisa, Shem Hashem Lashav. So you can't say Hashem's name for no, not a good reason. So you have to have a Darash of Kedusha to justify, like for Kadosh Kedusha, you need to have a minyan to justify Shem Hashem. So in order to do a Zimun of 10, you have to justify with 10 people there, right? And how do you have that? With 10 people actually in the room. For 3, the standards are lower. The stakes are not as great. You're not saying Shem Hashem. Okay. Amar Abayi, Nakdin, Shnayim, Sha'achul, Ka'acham, Mitzal, Chal. We tell hold for 2 people. There's no Zimun. In fact, Bedavka, they shouldn't. And they have to separately bench. Tainam, Shnayim, Sha'achul, Ka'acham, Mitzal, Chal, Ka'acham, Ramur, Kishnayim, Sofer. Right, the rule of 2 people is they should split up as long as they know how to bench. So for him, however, echad soifer echad bur, one guy knows how to bench, one doesn't. So for mevarek bur yotzei, if one guy is a bur, he is a not.
Why is he a bur? He doesn't know.
He doesn't know the benching. Well, that's not to his credit. He doesn't know how to bench, so he doesn't know how to bench. The guy should bench for him. It could be whatever. The bur is the guy that doesn't know how to bench. Today's day and age, Baruch Hashem, we have printed benchers everywhere. So get a bencher, and if he knows how to read, it'll be fine. But the guy doesn't illiterate, doesn't know how to read the Hebrew. It's too bad. So someone else could bench for him. But then we would use this rule that Shmekona. Otherwise, we try not to use Shmekona. Right? There's a Yerushalmi that says, for all mitzvahs in the world, Shmekona works. Midaraisa, no question. However, for 3 things, Chazal said it's not right to use Shmekona. What are they? Shmona Esrei. Ideally, you're supposed to thank Hashem yourself. So we don't do Shmoneh Esrei, we do Shmekona ideally. Second thing is for benching, we don't do Shmekona for benching except when we do Zimun. Zimun has that advantage that it's a certified allowance to do Shmekona. Otherwise, you're not supposed to bench for people. And some Rishonim extend that also to Bracha Zanen and Bracha Rishona. You're not supposed to do Shmekona for that except when there is a certain allowance to do it. And then the third one is Shema, right? Why? Because I'm not supposed to be mekabel malchus shemayim for you. I do it myself. You do it yourself, right? So shemekona works all over the world. However, ideally, we try not to use it for shemone esrei, for shema, shemone esrei, and for benching. Those 3 things we try not to use. The only time we use it for shemone esrei is the guy. We use it for all 3 of those if the guy doesn't know the text. If the guy can't say the words of shemone esrei or shema or benching, we definitely would use shemekona in any of those places. We go back to the deraisa in order not to mevatel the mitzvah completely. But when it comes to benching, if you have a zimun, then lechachile, mamish, you can all bench together. All right. Amarava. Ha milta amridana va it amra mishbeta rabizir kavasi shosha achu kacharam aspi mafsik lishnayim. This is important practical law. 3 people ate, and 2 people finished eating. And they don't want to wait around. So the third guy, in order to bet into zimun, they all have to pause. So should they wait till the third guy finishes eating? So the halacha is that they follow the rove, and one guy should pause for the 2. The 2 guys could tell the one guy, look, we want to do Zimun right now. Stop. Pause for a moment. So we'll do Zimun. We'll invite you. You'll keep eating after we finish the Zimun, and we're going to bench. So that's allowed. Shalosh shachach masik, echa masik l'shnayim. But the other way around, ain't shnayim masik l'echad. But 2 don't interrupt from 1. Right? If one guy finished, so let him wait till the others. Where says below? Is that true? But haro papa ifsik le la'aba bar berei ihu v'chad. Papa and 1 other person stopped. They were eating together with Abba bar berei, and they stopped to listen to the zimun from Abba mar berei. So lemaisa. Do you see that even 2 people stop for 1 person? Where it says, "Shani Rabbi Papa Delafni Mishur Sedin Hu Da'avad." He went above and beyond the halacha.
The halacha doesn't require you to stop. If you want to stop to be nice to your friend, you're allowed to. You don't have to, though. That's the halacha Shulchan Aruch. When the three people are going together, the rov could force the minority, two people could force the one guy. We're going to bench now. You have to listen up, and we'll pause. However, one can't force two, but if the two guys decide they want to, you know, allow the one guy to bench and they'll pause for him, they're allowed to. Rav Yehuda bar Marimara mar bar Rav Ashi, Rav Achami Divti, Karach Rifta, Bahadadadi, three people were eating together, three big time in the Chalamet. Love Behu, Chad, Havi Mokhlu, Mechavar, the Ruchai, Lahu. None of them felt they were greater than the other two. They all had enough, and they all felt, you know, we're all on a similar level. No one's muflag. No one's an expert. No one's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Usually, if there's one Talmud Chacham, you give the honor to that rabbi or Talmud Chacham. That's the idea in Zimun. However, over here, no one was greater than the other. So, so they said, you know, there's a rule that three people eat together to make Zimun. Maybe that's only true if if they're all equals, then, you know, split it up. So, therefore, that's what they did. They didn't baruch inish l'nafshe. They split up benching. They did not do any zimun. Why? Because they couldn't figure out who should be honored to do the zimun. So they split it up. They were all equal. Other than Marimer, they visited Marimer. And one of them was the son of Marimer, Yehuda bar Marimer. They visited Marimer. Amar lehu, yitei bracha yitzatim, yoyote benching, yitei zimun lo yitzatim. You didn't miss down on a mitzvah. You didn't do zimun. Just because you're all equal doesn't mean there's no zimun. There is a zimun. Chitamer nehadar nezamin. Let's do a zimun right now. Ain't zimun lemafrei. It doesn't make any sense to zimun afterwards. The pasha reason is, zimun is an invitation to bench. You can't invite someone to bench after you already benched. So therefore, it's too late. If a guy did not eat, so what are you supposed to do when you hear a zimun? If you ate, even if you didn't start with him, whatever, you could answer zimun with him, because as long as you ate. If you didn't eat anything, so what do you say? It's a machlokas. The Gemara says, no, it's not really a machlokas. These two opinions, do you say baruch mevarach or do you say amen, actually are two different opinions. Depending on the case. There are two different opinions depending on the case. There are no machlokas. If you heard them from the very beginning of the Zimun, you heard them say that whole statement from the word Nivarich and on, so then you should respond, Baruch Uvarach Shemot Timilo Lamed. You should respond in correspondence with what they said. You should respond, Baruch. You should respond, Baruch Uvarach. Hadashachin et Kamri Baruch. However, if you only heard the people chant back, Baruch, you heard the first, the Zimun, the Mezamin saying, Nivar Shachar Mishalot Avachinu, and everybody responded back, Baruch, Baruch Shalom. You heard people respond that, but you didn't hear the Mezamin, so then you only answer Amin. If you heard them from the very beginning of the Zimun, then you answer Baruch, Baruch, otherwise you just say Amin. And that's found in Shulchan Aruch. And we'd say a little bit more than Baruch Uvarach, Baruch Shemo Tamid Olam Ve'ed. The Zoza Baruch makes an acronym, you can try to remember it. Boshet Lo, it's six letters, and that's the Rashi Tevos to remember this. That if you hear someone do a Zimun, you didn't eat, you say Baruch, that's a bet, Umbavarach Vav, Shemo Shin, Tav is Tamid. If you remember that, great. Boshelo, those are the six things to help remember, six letters to remember. If you don't remember, it still counts for something to say those two words, Baruch Mavarach. Okay? So that's what we do. And then if you only hear the second statement, just say Amen. Tani chada one Amen ach brachotam arezim shubach, tani inach arezim guna. Right? This is a very also practical thing. We'll just finish with this. Idea, somebody who makes a bracha should not answer, should they say amen to their own bracha? One brisa says, it's meshuva, you're praised if you say amen to your own bracha. And one says, it's meguna, it's disgusting, it's a bad idea. What are you doing saying amen to your own brachas? Lokasha, what's the difference? Have bonei shalim, have shal brachas. By bonei shalim, you say amen, bonei shalim, amen, you say amen to your own bracha, and shal brachas, you don't. It's a machlokas, we shown him, Rashi here says, it's not just bonei shalim. Bonei shalim is just the end of a series of brachas. Anytime you end a series of brachas, a bunch of brachas all together, you say amen. So Svardim do that. Whenever you finish one Esrei, or the brachas Kriyashma before by Marith, you say amen. For many examples, you say amen. by any shtabach. However, halal. Ashkenazim generally only don't say amen to their own bracha by Yishtabach or Shmona Esrei or Hashkiveinu. They only say it for Bnei Yishlaim. And they learn like Tosis and others. They say Pshat is, Bnei Yishlaim is, that you finish a Deraisa bracha, now you're going on to Derabanta bracha to distinguish the two, you have to say amen. Abai Ani Lehe B'Kalo Kiyechad L'Sham V'Polim L'Kemo the Tova Meti V'La Deraisa, that Abai would B'davka say amen of the bracha of Tova Meti V'La, allows the people to hear the first thing sort of Deraisa, and the Polim will get up and leave, because now they finished Deraisa benching. Abashi Ani L'Chisha Kiyechad he would say quietly, this way people would know that that really they finished the derises, but he wouldn't say it out loud, so this way people wouldn't mezalzal and desecrate it.